it's this mindset of, okay, where do I want them to be? Well, it is as simple as, well, I want them to just stop biting. I want them to stop breaking down. I want them to stop yelling. We know what we want them to stop doing, but what do we want them to be doing or to be doing instead, or the healthy part of it?
Welcome to the Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers podcast with Sean and Jasmine Turner, and sponsored by ParentEQ.com. Hello, welcome to another episode of Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers. This week we have an interview with a real life parent. Sean talked with Chelsea, a mom of toddlers, about a few issues, one of them being one of her toddlers has a biting and anger issue. So if you have ever had that issue or are currently experiencing it, then you are going to love this episode. Even if you don't, Sean gives some really great pointers for how to deal with tough issues like this and some great principles. Chelsea also adds in some really great ideas for putting your kids to bed, a great bedtime routine. She gives some practical tips for that. And also how she's found some success dealing with anger issues and how to resolve that with little children, how to talk them through it. As always, we would love it if when you're done listening to this episode, you could give a rating and a little comment if you're on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you want to go ahead and follow us, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Real Life Parents Podcast. We also do monthly freebies. So if you're looking for extra information, extra resources, please go to ParentEQ.com and sign up for our monthly freebies. Without any further waiting, here are Sean and Chelsea.
Chelsea, could you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I am a mom of three kids. My kids are actually all 3 years old. So we have kind of an interesting story. We adopted a little girl, and about the same time we were matched through adoption, I got pregnant with twins. And so we have a little girl and two little boys, and they are very busy, and our life is busy. And my husband and I live in Utah, and we bought a fixer-upper a few years before we had any kids, and we started working on it, and we didn't get as far as we wanted before we had kids. So now we're raising three kids and still trying to fix up our house. And so life feels really chaotic a lot of times, but overall really good. But like any parent, I think we all have our concerns, and we're always looking for ways to improve and learn a little something here or there.
So what are some of the concerns, questions that you have surrounding this little family that you guys have got started?
Well, I think like lately I've been feeling most torn, just feeling like we have a lot of things going on and trying to figure out that balance, right? And it's really started to become apparent that I need to change something, because one of my little guys is, I guess I describe it as like anger issues, which I'm sure there's a better way to describe it. I feel like he becomes angry really fast and will scream and just kind of have these tantrums that my other two don't. And I know you're not supposed to compare your kids, but when I have three kids that are the same age and we're doing the same thing all the time, it's really hard not to. And I know we all have different personalities. And so the conclusion I've kind of like come up to on my own is that verbally, he seems to be a little bit more behind the other two. And so I just kind of figured because he's a little bit more behind verbally, he doesn't feel as comfortable expressing himself. And so his message is loud and clear when it's through anger, tantrum. He's my biter. He's the one that will go after the other two, scratch them, just kind of those behaviors. And then it's really sad and it breaks my heart because the other two have now started not wanting to include him. And so then you have these hurt feelings that then come back around the same, you know, problems. And so I'm thinking that I am probably spread too thin and need to spend more one-on-one time with them. I'm sure that's part of the answer, but I'd love some help figuring out how to help him work through these emotions and me so that I don't get so frustrated with him in those moments so that I can help support him, like work through those, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. You hit on like some really good key points there. So I'm just going to kind of go right into this framework that just recently I've started seeing as a pattern. And the framework is almost, it's linear in nature, because if you build off of like the first principle, then the other two, there's three of them, the other two will actually kind of work themselves out. And that's what we want as parents. We want more energy. We're tired at the end of the day. We're tired sometimes in the middle of the day. And that's because our energy is just being either sucked out of us, taken out of us, or we're releasing too much of it. And so what I've found is, and I'm getting older and I'm like, oh, I don't like this being tired all the time. So I'm trying to find ways to not necessarily recharge, because we all know that, right? You guys go on dates, you take time out for yourself to recharge. That's absolutely necessary. But you don't recharge to come back into chaos just to give your energy away again, right? We want to get out of that mindset. We want to try to have a balance. Now, obviously, we can't always have complete, you know, control and structure and management in every single part, but we can, starting with ourselves. So that's like principle number one. I'm not sure how to necessarily like title it, but it's like yourself. Know yourself, understand yourself. If you and when you know yourself, then when you get into any situation, you're at least secure and you know either how much you can handle, you know your own personality and your preferences, you know your limits, you know those boundaries either that you haven't set or are trying and working on. Basically, it's just this awareness piece. So I want to ask you a few questions here about yourself. Who are you? Like, have you ever asked yourself that question before? Like, who am I? And I kind of want to break away from like superficial things. Like, of course, you're a mother. We know that. And you're a wife. And you're all those family systems type things. But maybe a little bit deeper. Have you ever asked yourself, like, who am I? What do I value? What are maybe some of my like thinking patterns, my beliefs? Have you ever done that before?
Yeah, I have. And actually, when you first asked me to describe myself and I said I'm a mom, I'm like, oh, that's interesting, because that's like the first and foremost, you know, first thing that comes to mind. But really, it's deeper, because those are the things that make me the type of mother I am. I think as far as like the things I value, and the things that like bring me joy, family time. I love spending time with my family, and people just in general energize me.
Yeah, focus on like that part of it. So of course, I mean, you've liked spend time with your family. I don't think there's too many parents not in the heat of the moment, they won't say, I don't like spend time with my family, but like in general. So this is an activity I actually would suggest to everybody, is spend some time. And there's actually like, there's journals out there, there's websites, there's a lot of different resources to help a person just break open those layers. Like, right, this is Shrek, like people are like onions, we're layers. And to get down into the middle of what do we really prefer as a person to our core. So you mentioned kind of one like people person, the whole idea of introvert, extrovert, that's a real thing. Yes. Where do we get our energy from? So if you're a people person, that's important. What else kind of have you seen?
I love helping people. I realized I'm like, I love helping people, but I don't want like a whole lot of like praise, or like, I don't want somebody to post on Facebook, like, thank you, Chelsea, for doing this. Like, I just want it to be because it's, I love you and I can see that you need this help. And so I like want to give what I can to help you. So that brings me a lot of joy.
Genuineness, authenticity.
Yes, better words. Thank you. I'm surrounded by toddlers, so my vocabulary is probably a little bit more limited.
I know.
I'm also a dietitian, and that whole piece of my life is probably another story for another day. But just the concept, and it kind of ties in with this of intuitive eating, like living intuitively, being able to listen to your body and check in, and being able to see how that has really empowered me, and kind of put to the side a lot of our social norms or things that we think are social norms, and around diet culture and different things. So, and then being able to educate other people has been immensely satisfying.
Yeah.
So
you're a helper. You like to help.
I guess so. Yeah.
Here's one of the reasons why I focus on that is partly from kind of a therapeutic standpoint, it's stability. In any situation we go into, if we're prepared and we're confident, I mean, bring it on. Most people thrive and are very resilient and they can handle it. The problem is when we second guess ourselves or we're going against the grain a little bit. We want to be able to go with the grain. And I think we'll be a little surprised when we find out that it really doesn't take a lot of energy. If we know, which is the second part, is knowing others. And in this situation right now, it would be knowing your children. So you could use this with your husband and in your marriage, because then the second part would be knowing your husband. So the idea is, the first part is the foundational piece, is knowing yourself or understanding yourself. And then the second part is knowing that other person. Will kind of focus on the kids. The third part, and actually the least, I don't want to say important, but it's definitely the concern. And that's like, what is the issue? And that's it. It's really simple. Know yourself, know the other person or whatever it is, and then know what the issue is. If we follow that formula, it's so simple, but if we follow it and we put more of our energy into knowing ourselves and knowing what we can handle and knowing who we are and what our values are and what our strengths and weaknesses, and then we're actually putting energy into that, the other two just seem to fall into place, especially the issue. As parents, we get wrapped up in what's the issue, what's the issue, what's the issue. And we don't realize that throughout the podcast, I like to drop like truth bombs. That's kind of how I just talk. I don't like fluff. I like to talk and like, you know, all over the place. But there are some realities that I want to help us like really realize. And here's one of them. How we act, our kids will learn that very same thing. We model whatever we model, they will pick up. Mm-hmm. So now when people hear that, they're like, so I screwed my kid up? Like, no, yes, no, no, of course you didn't. But if you think about it, where else are they learning things? Mm-hmm. Where else are they learning these things? No. So then I go, okay, well, let's take the biting, for example. And that's a lot of parents have that with their toddlers. They're biting. Well, you don't go around biting people when you're angry or mad. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the developmental nature of a toddler or a small child, everything is oral. Mm-hmm. So their anger is going to come out orally. Mm-hmm. So that is part of the development. And to then break down or get frustrated and annoyed at a developmental stage, that's now on us. Mm-hmm. So how we react to it is very, very important. Now I know I've had kids who've done that, and that phase is gone. So I can't go back and say, oh, well, I guess I screwed it up. No, not that. We don't do that. What we do is we build off of it and go, okay, so what was it about me where I helped it resolve itself? What was it about me where I helped? This is kind of a hard one too. Sometimes we perpetuate it. Remember in the olden days, parents would go, well, if you're biting me, then I'm going to bite you. And they would like bite, see how you like it. No, that's how I was taught. And that's how my parents were taught. You know, it's like, see how you like it, which, I mean, we should be past that by now. We should be past that understanding and realization of like, developmental psychology. It's 2020. It's not, you know, the 1950s. The idea here is to understand the issue, understand who they are, but number one is understanding us. So right now is I want you to be contemplating. Don't shame yourself. Don't get hard on yourself, but contemplate on what you're doing when your son is biting or does have that reaction. Because how you react will determine in that moment mostly, but if you do it a couple hundred times, right, down the road, but how you react to it is probably 60, 70, 80% of the fix. How did I react? And then not just to that one, but how do I react in any situation? How do I react when they're doing something well? How do I perceive praise? You mentioned something about that, about yourself. What did you say just a minute ago about praise?
Oh, that I don't want a big deal made out of it. Is that what you're referring
right, to? Right. Do you know if any of your kids are like that?
Two of them seem to be excited a little bit more with praise. I can't say that I have noticed any one of them like not liking praise.
Right, right. But it might be something just to keep in your radar, because as they develop, they're going to get a personality, and that's an important piece. I mean, there's a whole litany of personality traits. Mm-hmm. The idea is not to judge it, right? The idea is to go, oh, that's who they are. So I have a research lab at my house because I have eight children. Seven boys, if you could believe that. The girl, our daughter, is number two. And then there's six more boys after that. So I have a little research lab because, right, I like try things out. And let me tell you, most of it is like, oops, that didn't work. But here's the thing is, here's what we say. Let's don't do that again. Right?
That's great.
where a lot of times we're like, well, that didn't work. Let's just keep trying and hope it works. Or we want to wish it works. And so we just keep trying and trying and trying and trying. And, you know, that's what's that called? Definition of insanity. Trying something over and over until. So that's what we have to do is we have to turn it around on ourselves and work on that number one principle is awareness. Am I really doing something over and over and over and expecting a different result? Like, do I do that? No, I don't do that. Wait, maybe I do. So it takes a little bit of humility, but that's kind of the point here, right? The point is to get more structure, but less reaction. So I use the word reaction because the healthy word to that is action. And the piece to that is just planning. What are some of the things? Now, I know none of us are perfect, but what are some of the things that you've planned out and implemented and they work? Do you have any?
Just in general, parenting or like life?
It can be really, really specific or very broad, whichever.
Yeah. A little history on that is I actually have this weird tango between loving to have plans and also like loving to have a lot of flexibility. And so I go like back and forth with like, okay, I want to have a set routine every day to like, that's like suffocating me. I want to have complete flexibility and let my kids play and just kind of do what I want to do in the moment, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So, something that we do, like our nighttime routine is a little bit more structured, something that we have planned and it hasn't always been that way.
Right.
But I would say that our nighttime routine our nighttimes are more enjoyable for my husband and I
yes.
and our kids just because they know what's expected. They know yes. the routine, like they've gotten into the flow. They are a little bit more independent. And so that's something that's really helped me at least like not have anxiety about bedtime anymore is that we have this routine that we've pretty much stuck to. And so that has, I've seen the benefits of that definitely.
So really quick for those productivity master moms out there
yeah.
who like have all the charts and everything, but they're, you know, what are the couple of the routines, maybe just run through real quick. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. I'm sure they like get their PJs on, right? But what have you found that kind of works for motivation?
Well, we do a family cheer at night. And so a lot of times we let them choose, like, what are we going to cheer for? And so, but if you're not there for, you know, deciding that, then you don't get a say in it. Also, you know, the battle of who gets to say the prayer, you get to pick where you get to sit. We, you know, we read our scriptures at night as a family, just trying to end like on a positive note of like togetherness, like love, kind of creating that, like maybe the day was really crappy, but we're going to end it as positive as we can. I think they actually do start to like look forward to that. So, but I guess motivation pieces, like those little things, like I said, the picking out the cheer, saying the prayer, or, you know, just a few extra seconds or minutes of snuggling, you know, before everyone gathers together, those things, I think.
Right. So here's a little exercise I want you to do. Because it just came to me. And so we're going to do it. Think about your kids. And this is actually really good to do in general because of where we're learning just on like the psychology of who we are and our mindset and all that kind of stuff, affirmations, meditations, a prayer even works for that kind of a thing in the religious setting. So think of the future. Think of, I'm on this kick on like 2030. That's in 10 years, right? We're going to be around. I mean, if bar anything crazy, we're going to be around and society's going to keep moving. Let's just pretend that's the norm, right? So 2030, just like 2010, we can go back and go, oh, wow, where was I in 2010, 10 years ago? So what I want you to do is think about 2030 and the kids you have. So they're 2 and 3. That means they'll be 13. Oh, the wonderful teenage years, right? So think about you as a person. Now, all of a sudden, you're sitting in your living room and you've had the routine and you've created this routine, but now you're dealing with teenagers instead of toddlers. Maybe you still have the family cheer. Maybe that, because that was motivating. What do you think you could or would have created, or how would you then deal with a whole nother type of, I don't want to say it, but monster? They're also wonderful. They are, but it's a whole nother type of person as teenagers. Can you fathom that? Have you gone there before?
My husband and I have actually talked a lot about like, oh, what kind of parents do we want to be? And I think teenagers excite us just because, I don't know, we loved our teens. And so we think that our kids will as well, and hopefully will love when they're teens. But something that we both loved about our families is like the deep connection we had with our parents. Like we didn't have like superficial relationships. Mm-hmm. Like we talked deep, like our parents really cared about how we were doing or like what was going on in our life, like specific things. And so I haven't like necessarily thought, oh, when they're 13, but I think like that time, you know, maybe we won't be doing a cheer anymore. Maybe we will, who knows, but maybe when we're sitting around, like after we've, you know, read together, maybe we're going to talk about like who's having a hard day and why, and what's going on with your friends. And like, maybe it's going to become more of like a support group where we're trying to offer suggestions or just at least be there and tell them that we love them and that they'll get through it. So, and I think like that will change and over time, like with their needs right now, we just try to ask them what the best part of their day was. And it's usually something that happened 5 seconds ago. So I don't know. And maybe I need to spend more time thinking about how we want to aim for that. But I guess starting small and growing into that is how I've pictured it going.
Good for you. The point is that you're putting energy into it. You're putting thought, you're putting preparation, you're being intentional, because a lot of times we don't. Life gets just busy. It's the same thing now with your toddlers. You can do the same thing. It's this mindset of, okay, where do I want them to be? Well, it is as simple as, well, I want them to just stop biting. I want them to stop breaking down. I want them to stop yelling. We know what we want them to stop doing, but what do we want them to be doing or to be doing instead, or the healthy part of it. And so what I want you to do is just go, okay, so in a week from now, in 6 months from now, where do I want them to be? Where do I want them to have gotten in this issue? And then it goes back. So you're thinking about the issue, which is number three, but you go back to number one is like, okay, what am I going to do to help them? But sometimes, and here's why I framed it that way, is because sometimes we just focus on the issue, and that takes all of our energy, or we're focusing on the kid, when sometimes we can be, and this is kind of one of those truth bombs here, is that sometimes we're perpetuating it. And I know that we're doing it inadvertently, but that's why it's so important to understand who we are. For example, I value, and I didn't learn all this until I went to therapist school, which was in my late 30s. I figured I was married and I had a family, so I better go get a marriage and family degree, because I don't know what the heck I was doing. So I did. And then, wow, did so many things open up. And the idea here too is you don't have to go get a degree, because we have this awesome thing called the internet and this amazing thing called YouTube. And I don't know if you have heard about this thing called TikTok. Have you heard about this thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm not just, I know, aside from all like the social stuff, I listen to like therapists. That's where I learn a lot of my stuff or get ideas about it. So my point being is, the resources are there. It's like 2020, right? The resources are there. So, you know, going back to like understanding yourself, I personally believe, from how I've seen and talked to so many people about this, is I recognize it in myself that there were times where I was kind of perpetuating emotional dysregulation. That's kind of the frame. Basically just emotional. I wasn't in control of my emotions. But then when I got in control of those, I was modeling it. And then they're like little sponges and they pick it up. Sometimes it's a little waiting game. Sometimes it's a developmental game where you have to just wait through the development, especially when you get into the teenagers. What have you found that's kind of working, or maybe not working yet, but you know, you're keeping at it, and we'll see, you know, seeing what works for some of that explosive behavior, whether it's biting, whether it's yelling, whether it's throwing or tantruming or whatever. What are you trying?
Well, we have 100 things that don't work. And some of those I'm not proud of, but something that's probably made the biggest difference, and I'm sad that I didn't think of this first, but it's like this simple little book, like Winnie the Pooh book about saying sorry. Yeah. And it goes through a couple of the characters. Somebody hurts somebody's feelings, does something wrong, you know, they work through fixing the problem, and then at the very end, like saying sorry, and but really right. meaning it, you know. So we've read that book like, you know, 5,000 times, and we refer back to that book a lot, like after it happens. So and part of my problem is that like I'm not very good at like triaging the situation. I have a kid that just bit, and then I have a kid that's screaming because they were bit, mm-hmm. right? And so then I'm like, who do I help first? Like if I'm helping the hurt child and giving them attention, then my biter, you know, in a couple minutes might not feel as sorry, you know, in this right. situation. So I usually, so something that works is that I will have them both come to me and we'll sit down on the couch, and I like will be giving the hurt one loves and be like looking at the bite mark. Oh, that looks like it hurts so bad. I'm so sorry. And then the biter is sitting there watching this. And then I turn my attention to the biter and like, oh, that looks like it really hurts her. Do you think that, you know, what do you think we should do? Or maybe we'll refer back to the book of what did Tigger do when he hurt Rabbit's feelings, you know, and try mm-hmm. to like relate it to those characters. Is it a perfect solution? No, but like you said, it might be something that's helping. We've right. also made up a song about it.
Oh, there
so
you go.
We sing our little song a few times. So those things right. seem to be doing more good than anything else we've tried.
Great. Because the idea here, the principle is, one, don't give up, keep going, and keep trying. You got 100 things that don't work. Absolutely. That's great.
Well, we'll go ahead and wrap up their interview there. As you can tell, they did keep going. Sean is never lacking for words, and his interviews always go extra long. So I have to decide whether or not we're going to show both half hours of the interview, or if there's lots in that one that's good enough and that we'll just kind of move on to the next person. But I hope that what we did show you, that this clip from their discussion was helpful. Again, please feel free to leave us a rating or a comment, and also share us with your friends. Hop on social media, share the podcast, let people know if this podcast is helping you. We'll go ahead and see you next week. We come out with episodes every Monday. And until then, here's to authentic, intentional parenting. Last but not least, the advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional.